Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Issues Concerning Women, the radio talk show. I am your host, Francine Allen Humphrey, and my co-host, Veronica McMillan, of the Micro Nonprofit Network, is on special assignment this evening, so she will not be joining us. But I have a very special guest today, and her name is Sonia Phillips of Stretch Couture. But first, I would like to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to the broadcast. If you're a longtime listener, we thank you so very much. If this is your first time tuning into the show, we thank you as well. Issues Concerning Women focuses on women and their families reaching long and short-term goals, assisting them in the areas of business, careers, housing, finance, and life skills. The Micro Nonprofit Network Incorporated helps small nonprofit organizations become foundationally strong through education, coaching, mentoring, and program development for 501c3 organizations. We offer advocacy services to infuse and stabilize households and foster a sense of community involvement, self-worth, and self-determination. So without further ado, today I would like to introduce you to Sonia Z. Phillips. And she's a native of Virginia Beach, Virginia. She served in the U.S. Army, then attended Tidewater Community College. She went on to graduate from Old Dominion University with a B.S. in Biology and International Business. Sonia is the fashion designer and sewing instructor at Stretch Couture, a substantial fashion brand that specializes in swimwear and pet clothing. Stretch Couture also offers sewing workshops, sample creations, designer development, consulting, and fashion event coordination. Sonia started her business as a self-taught seamstress, but has since studied couture fashion design under Marc Jacobs and has also showcased Stretch Couture doing New York Fashion Week. She now uses her business to empower youth with sewing workshops and mentoring. So without further ado, I would like to introduce you to Sonia Z. Phillips. Good afternoon, Sonia. How are you?
I'm doing great, Francine. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us on Issues Concerning Women today. And you know, we highlight women in business with our broadcast. So today I'm so excited to hear more about what you're doing in your business. Now, one of the questions that I have for you is that I know that you do a lot of community service. So could you tell us about some of the programs that you're involved with?
Yes, of course. So one of the things that I just absolutely love is Envisionly Grow, which is a nonprofit started by Dr. Angela Reddick here in the Hampton Roads area. But the program is, I want to say, in about 17 or maybe like 20 states now. This is the third year of the program. And what it is we help middle school girls become girl bosses. And so our goal is 1,000 girl bosses. And so as a mentor with that program, I meet with a cohort of girls ranging anywhere. Like the first year, I had like two. Last year, I had like started out with five, ended up with two again. And this year, I have five. And of my five, three of them are actually in business, selling and making a profit in their business right now. So it's so exciting to help these young ladies in business. And I'm also a member of the National Council of Negro Women, the Norfolk section, and I served as the youth coordinator for 4 years and developed youth programs there, and I absolutely love that. And I participate with 4-H. I'm also helping to develop a new nonprofit. What a nonprofit is about 30 years old, but they've been a little dormant, and the only thing they've been doing is food distribution, and it's the National Coalition for Youth and Families, and what I'm doing with them is helping to develop programs and recruit to get their youth program restarted in the Norfolk, Virginia area.
Excellent. And if you don't know Ms. Phillips. You will know her after this broadcast. And she's well known in the community, and she does so much, and I'm so proud to have her on today. Sonya, I just want to talk a little bit about how you guys started with your business, Stretch Couture.
So I would say it was the early 90s, and I'm a busybody to this day, but back then I was still a busybody. I was working part-time in a pawn shop. I was working as an exotic dancer. I was going to nail school, and I still had time for social life in the midst of all that. But during that time of my life, my mom came to live with me from South Carolina. I'm originally from Virginia Beach area, and I was living in Norfolk, and my mom had gone through some problems in her marriage, and she was in South Carolina, and so I invited her to come and live with me here in Norfolk at the time. And shortly after that, she ended up having a mini stroke and couldn't work. And so she asked me, hey, would you get me a sewing machine or something? Because you're never home and I'm bored. I want to make some pillows or something. And I was like, sure. So I purchased a little sewing machine for $75 from American Pawn, and it's still there on the Little Creek Road in Norfolk, Virginia. And I took that little sewing machine home, and my mom started making little things, and, you know, I kind of figured things out. And the only formal sewing education I had was in seventh grade in home ec. I went to Crestwood, I think, junior high at the time. I don't know if it's still there or not, and that's in Chesapeake, Virginia. So I'm 45 years old. So during that time, it was the three segments. You had to carry around the egg. So that was before the little crying babies they have now. So I carried the egg for a couple weeks. You know, we made a sewing project, and my project was a jean jumper. And then we also had to prepare a meal. And as a class, I think we had a menu, and we were split up into teams, and, like, you know, we had to work on that. But of those things, the sewing just really stuck with me. You know, with the egg, I ended up giving that back and getting the A in that because I managed not to leave it somewhere. And with the food, you know, we ate that up. But, you know, I was able to keep that jean jumper, and I was so proud of it. And it wasn't perfect, you know, but I finished it, and I was proud of it. And I kept it for a long while until I either moved or outgrew it. I don't recall what happened to it, but I know I had it for a long while. So, you know, just going back to when I started, basically it was about 95, 96 time frame when I started, you know, reintroducing myself to the sewing machine, just figuring it out. It started with mending clothes. Like, I had two ginormous bags of things that might have had a hole or a missing strap or, you know, just little minor little things where I couldn't wear it, but it was too good to toss out. So I spent a day just doing repairs and alterations. And then I kind of moved up to getting bathing suits and altering them. And my first thing I'd say I made was exotic dancewear, because I was working as a dancer in Norfolk at a club called Tailgaters. It's no longer there, but exotic dancewear is just a little bit less revealing than your basic swimwear. So I started buying bathing suits and altering them to make them more sexy. And then I tried my hand at replicating one of my favorite outfits, and I didn't remember or understand about seam allowance. So it was way too small. So I ended up maybe like selling that off for like $5 to another girl at the club. And then I just started getting better and better. And one thing led to another, make me something, I want something. And I'm an only child. So in the beginning, I was selfish. I just wanted it for myself. I just wanted something different and to fit me and fit my body shape and be different. And so eventually I did start making things for friends and family members. And then my brand started to expand because people wanted things for church or things for their kids or, you know, things for, you know, a birthday party or something for prom. And So I sold, you know, under the table for about 4 or 5 years. And in that interim, I went to the military and then got out, couldn't get a job, kind of got back into it again. And so I went in the military in 96 and came out in 98. And so about 2001 is when I actually went and got a business license and actually made it a business. But I was, like, going to school. I was going to TCC. And so it was just a lot of things happening. Like I mentioned, I'm a busybody. But in the midst of getting out of the military, not being able to find a job, going back into dancing, going back into the sewing, and in that time frame while I was in the military, my mom passed away. But one of my aunts had the sewing machine. And so I think I became more passionate about it because it made me feel closer to my mom, you know, when I would sew and when, you know, I would think about her and, you know, us just sitting at the table together while I'm working on a project or her, you know, showing her what I made, you know, and she was self-taught her own self, you know. So I was able to get that machine and kind of pick up where I left off when I returned from the military. And, you know, I was raised in the church, and so I feel like it came a time where I started to feel convicted, and I kind of moved out of the dancing side of that, but I still remained in the club selling outfits, you know, to the girls. And it, it's somewhat of a ministry to me because I go in there, I provide resources to them, you know, and now 20 years later, I'm still going in there, signing people up for affordable health care or helping people fill out their FAFSA or giving them a resource for, you know, how to set up a bank account or something, you know. So there's a lot that goes on in the club that people don't see.
Yeah, that's true. That's so true. Well, it sounds like you had a thing time there in that time period where you transitioned from out of it just being a hobby into being a full-time career. So it might be somebody listening today that want, they have something that they are passionate about and they want to start a business. Could you give them a few pointers or some advice on how they can just get started?
Well, you know, my first thing I'm going to say is, you know, sit down and take some time to think about what it is you really want to do so that you can have some ideas before you go and talk to somebody. Because one thing that happens with me, I get all these ideas and I want to do them all at one time. But, like, once you figure out what it is you want to do, I would take that information and I would try to set an appointment with your local small business administration. One group that helped me is a group of volunteers that are under the Small Business Administration, and they go by SCORE, S-C-O-R-E, and they're retired professionals. For example, maybe a retired accountant or a retired store owner or just different professions. And they volunteer their time to help you with your business. They don't do anything for you, but they help you work your way through, like, you know, with, say, your business plan. And now with Google and the Internet, it's so many things you can do on your own. So I would suggest definitely looking into your local Small Business Administration. If you have a university that's in your area, I would check there to see if they offer any resources to the community. So I am a proud graduate of Old Dominion University, and they have so many resources for alumni, but also open to the public. As a veteran, they have resources to help me as a veteran. And as a veteran, sometimes you have additional resources available to you. So I would check your local universities, community colleges, and your local Small Business Administration, and Google.
Great, which is great advice for somebody just getting started. And I'm just going to throw a plug in there for myself. And once you get all that information, then you can come and see me because I can help you a little bit too with the small business training, so which is absolutely awesome. So let's switch gears a little bit. We've talked about you starting your business. Let's talk about some of the things that you've been doing. Now, on your bio, you talk about being Miss African American Culture Galaxy 2020 and Miss Virginia Beach American Nation 2020. So tell our audience just exactly what those two titles are all about.
Okay. So I'll start with the Culture Galaxy. So they're both owned by the same pageant director, but the Miss Culture Galaxy pageant is our tagline is basically beauty, strength, and diversity. So I started pageants in 2018. I was 43 years old. I'm African-American female. I'm plus size. I'm only 5'2". And so this pageant is not just about what you look like, but it is focused on your inner beauty as well as your outer beauty. It's focused on diversity. And with most pageants, it's focused on service, on community service. And but with the Culture Galaxy is more of a worldview. And with the American Nation brand, the tagline is defining beauty and beyond. So again, it's looking past just your what you look like. And so with the American Nation, this is my first year competing in the American Nation pageant, but because everything is really kind of the same in a sense, like my platform. And so it's just two separate competitions. And so I'll be doing like the same thing twice. The only difference is with the Culture Galaxy piece, you're required to wear a cultural costume that represents your heritage or your country. And so both pageants have at least four components. So each worth 25. So the first one is interviews. The second one is either swimwear or fitness. So because I am a MS over 30, I am required to do fitness. So some of the MISS, which is 29 or 19 to 29, they can do swimwear or fitness. And so that's the interview, the fitness, and evening gown. So 25% is based on your evening gown presentation. And honestly, it's more about modeling and your poise, how your garment fits you. So those three segments are the same for both pageants. So the difference is with the Culture Galaxy piece, it's the culture costume. Whereas with American Nation, you have opportunity to wear what's called fun fashion, where you get to have an outfit of your choice. And it's basically a modeling presentation again, how you present yourself in that.
Great. And so this is very interesting. So were you allowed to wear your own creation for either one of these pageants?
Yes. Yes. So let's talk about my why. So in 2018, to join the pageant in July, and the pageant took place in October. So I had like less than 2.5 months to get myself together, but I was so blessed to have the help of my friend that invited me to the pageant, Ms. Maureen Bullock. She helped to coach me and get me ready. She was like a pageant drill sergeant, you know, asking me to interview questions, teaching me how to walk and hold my feet, you know. And so she really got me ready. And what ended up getting me to that point is I asked her about another pageant, and I was like, hey, you know, what do you think if I do this Miss Atlanta Plus pageant so I can just show off my outfit? And then she referred me back to the pageant I'm with now, where she currently serves on their board. And I was like, well, sure, I'll do it. You know, so she, you know, helped me with the figuring out, you know, what I needed and a way to pay the cost. It does cost money to do pageants, but she just kind of really helped me to figure it out. And so the very first year, for all of the segments that I mentioned, for the Miss Culture Galaxy piece, the interview, the evening gown, the fun fashion, I did fun fashion and I did the culture costume. And then you know, so all of the segments, I made everything except for I did have a fashion designer, Miss Abena Faro. She is an African designer here in Hampton Roads. She actually sponsored me with a handmade skirt that I paired with another piece that I made. And but aside from her skirt, I made all of my wardrobe for the entire pageant.
Wonderful. That is that's so exciting. And those of you who do not know Sonya Phillips, she has this beautiful, infectious smile. And every time I see her, she's always smiling. And if I ever ran across her and she wasn't smiling, I would know something is definitely wrong. So those of you who don't know her, follow her. And she's going to I'm going to ask Sonya right now to give you the information where folks can get in touch with you if they're interested in any of the programs that you talked about and learning more about what you're doing. Or maybe they need some fun swimwear or some pet clothing. Oh, we didn't talk about that yet. But let's give them the information, Sonya, how they can get in touch with you and follow you on some of your social media programs.
Okay, so I made it really easy for you guys out there. I have two main websites. So if you're interested in just connecting with me as a person and the pageantry stuff, you can visit me at www.sonya, so N-Y-A, Z, as in like zebra, and Phillips, P-H-I-L-L-I-P-S. So one more time, S-O-N-Y-A-Z-P-H-I-L-L-I-P-S.com. So that is my personal website. It's just my name. And that will link you to pretty much everything else. But if you want to go directly to the fashion, you can visit my Stretch Couture website, which is www.stretchcouture.com. And it's Stretch Couture on Instagram as well. So I do have a link tree on my IG that will link you to all my other stuff I do. But if nothing else, remember my name, Sonya Z. Phillips, and you can pretty much find everything from there.
Yes, absolutely. So that was great information. So let's talk about the pet clothing. How did you get started doing that?
You know, I just always love puppies, man. And I had a cat before, but
so cute.
Puppies are just so much fun, man. And, you know, I don't have a dog now, but my best friend, well, one of them, I have several best friends, so I'm going to shout out my best friend Wendy and my best friend Robin. But with the pets, I do have a god dog. His name is Rocky,
mm-hmm.
and Labrador Retriever. And so I just think that they're cute, you know, and I just love accessories and accessorizing. And so with that, I basically just love it. It's just like playing dress up with dolls, but instead of with dolls, mm-hmm. with furry animals. Because I don't have children. And I probably won't mm-hmm. have children, and I probably will end up with a fur baby. And I just love it.
This is great. And it sounds like you do, because I hear the smile in your voice. Your fashion brand, and you started with Stretch Couture. Tell me how you got started with that.
Well, so actually it was a process, because in the very beginning, as I mentioned, I used to make exotic menswear, and so my name was something different. And as I started to grow and take on other projects, I went to a meeting one night. It was like a women's networking meeting. And the facilitator was asking me a lot of questions about my business. And I was just telling her what I did. And we were just brainstorming. And someone at the table was like, well, what do you do? Yeah, you make stretchy stuff? Okay. It's custom made, like couture. Okay, stretch couture. That should be your new name. And I was like, oh, mm-hmm. yeah, I like the way that sounds. And so this was like maybe around October, November timeframe. So the following year, I went and I rebranded and I just changed my name. It's only like an additional $10 to change your name and stuff. So mm-hmm. Even though I've been established since 2001, I actually have been Stretch Couture since 2015. And, you know, and so basically, 2015 up until 2017, I pretty much just made clothes for people, you know, and I've done a few fashion mm-hmm. shows and stuff. But in 2017 is when I had my very first paid sewing student. Like, I would do sewing meetups because I enjoy the community, like say the sewing circles, or, you know, doing the community service classes, you know, to kids at a workshop or something. So I did lots of free stuff out there
mm-hmm.
In the world, as far as teaching the sewing. But 2015 is when I had my first paid sewing client. And since then, it's just really blossomed. I actually am the sewing and design teacher at Byla Fusion, which is a creative art studio here in Virginia Beach. And I've been doing that since September of last year. And I have since then kind of grown to the type of clients I attract. And so I have very many up-and-coming designers that either know how to sew a little bit but need help to get better, to push out, you know, a vision they may have for a brand, or maybe they have this vision and they don't know how to sew. So I kind of help them to get the garment construction side of their fashion collection, and also, like you asked at the beginning of the show, how to proceed to turn it into a business and make it a profitable business. So I find I have a niche for designer development.
Great.
And
absolutely wonderful.
I think those are the main areas. Yeah, so I do. So I make custom clothing. I teach sewing classes, and I also offer consulting with the Stretch Couture, an event, you know, with the Stretch Couture.
So do you teach one-on-one, or do you – and I think you mentioned something about groups. You've done a lot of group work. But if someone, you know, just wanted to have a private sewing lesson, is that something that's available to the public?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Great.
So with that, they can visit that stretchcouture.com again, and they can click the tab that says sewing classes, and they'll see the different options I offer, and they can contact me directly if they would like to talk more about advanced classes. So, you know, I just have some basic classes up there, but I do offer everything from the one-on-one to a group class to perhaps I've even done conferences where I've had breakout sessions for adults and for children. So different, depends on your need. You know, we will just have to discuss it. And yeah, I do all that.
Sounds good. Now, you in your bio, you put one thing that you were very proud of, and it's a young lady that's 15 years old, and we got about 2 minutes. So talk a little bit about her and what it means to you, what she's doing right now.
Okay. Well, part of my platform is empowering youth through entrepreneurship. So my little cousin, Andrea, she actually just turned 16 in, like, last week. But ever since she was little, she just kind of been following me around in my business. And so at some point I started taking her to meetings and things with me. But, you know, throughout the years, she would make jewelry. I would show her how to hand sew, how to sew on a sewing machine. And so earlier this year, her and her mother actually got an LLC. And so she is the CEO of Millennial Beauty. So she sells eyelashes and other beauty products. But she also now is, it's a cosmetology brand, so she actually offers braiding services. And so in the pictures that you guys see, the braids I have, she actually did those for me. And so she's 16 years old, CEO of Millennial Beauty, and those two Green Run Collegiate. So, like, always bringing in those A's. So I just am so proud of her.
Well, that is great. Well, Sonia, we have come to the end of another exciting broadcast. I'm going to have you come back because we just blazed the surface of what you do. And I know that people will find this quite interesting to learn more about you. Sure.
I just want to invite everyone out that is not afraid to come outside. On Saturday, August 1st, I am hosting a fashion show on the lawn in Virginia Beach, Virginia. It's absolutely free to attend, but if you would like a reserved seat, you can reserve a seat through Eventbrite. It's only $15. But if you visit www.soniazphillips.com, you'll get all the information, and that will help me support my pageant fundraising. So I just wanted to put that out there and invite everyone out. And please, if you know someone that might be interested, please share it. Okay, that's it.
Absolutely great. Thank you, Sonia. So thank you so much for being on the show today. You see, 30 minutes goes really quick, And we, you know, we just kind of glaze the surface of what all that you're doing. So please just keep smiling and please being that beautiful person that you are inside and outside. It has been my pleasure to have you on Issues Concerning Women. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the end of another broadcast. Please come back next Thursday for Veronica McMillan and myself as we talk to more women about women in business. Have a fabulous Thursday evening, Virginia Beach and all over the world, and we look forward to seeing you soon. Take care now. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye.